Base Shabbat, Tuesday the 12th of January, Rabbi Akiva Tachtel, the Human Zoo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good Yisru Rosh Chodesh. Pleasure to be here again. This time I was told we were videotaped as well. That looks good. So soon we'll celebrate Tu B'Shvat. And famous pasuk, Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSodeh. According to some, according to Rashi, this is a question, a rhetorical question. Is a person like a tree? According to many others, we are compared to trees. And it's not really today's topic. There is comparison between humans and trees. There is also, however, sometimes comparisons between human beings and animals. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes not so positive. Not so long ago, we read the end of Chumash Bereshis when Yaakov Avinu compared some of his children to animals in a positive manner, using the good qualities of those animals. Today, I would like to analyze, together with you, Be'ezus Hashem, a Medrash Koheles that compares human beings to animals in a less favorable way, and see what we can do about it. So, the Medrash says, famous pasuks that starts off Koheles, Hevel Avolim Omar Koheles, Hevel Avolim Akoil Hovel. The word Hevel, which means vanity, is repeated seven times in the pasuk. Says the Medrash Koheles Rabba, Perek Aleph, Beis, Rav Shmuel Bar Mitzchak Matnid B'Shem Rav Shimon Ben Olozo. Shiva Avolim Shomer Koheles, Keneged Shiva Elom Shodom Roya. The seven, the reason why Shlomo repeated the word Hevel seven times, because he's relating to seven different worlds that the person sees in the duration of his lifetime. Ben Shono, Doim El Melech. When a person is 1 year old, he's like a king. Nothing be is par kapasti, da'akar mechabkin monashkin oisoi. He is lying in his, you know, next time you go to the baby product shop, just ask them for an ispar kapasti. I'm sure they'll serve you just the right thing. I'm sure it's some kind of, whatever, what the baby lies in. Hakel mechabkin monashkin oisoi. Everybody kisses and hugs the baby. When he's young, he's being served, he gets royal treatment. Ben Shnosayim v'sholosh, when he's 2 and 3 years old, when he's a toddler, doyme lechazir. He's like a chazir, like a pig. Sheposhet yodov bebivin. He sticks his hands, he extends his hands in the bivin, in the gutter, in the dirty places. Ben Ezra shona koifetz kigdi. When he's 10 years old, he frolics like a gdi, like a goat. Ben Esrim kesus. When he's 20 years old, he's like a horse. Why is that? Nahim meshaper garme ubai itasa. Yeah, he neighs and he grooms himself up. He meshaper garme. He wants to look good. Because by itata he wants or he needs a wife, shiduchim. Nasa isha, what happens when he gets married? There's mention of women here before. Then he becomes like a chamor, becomes like a donkey. We'll explain each and every stage soon. Yes. Hoylid bonin, once he has children, meiz ponov kechele. Then he's like a dog. Lavi lechem umezoynes, he has to bring food to the table for nasa belaz. His kin areo kikoif. Once old, he's like a monkey. The Medrash ends up with a positive note and says, Hadad etemar bei amei haoretz. The above is true for amaratzim, amei haoretzis. Aval bivnei toiro, when it comes to bnei toiro, ksiv, it says, v'amelech David zoken. Afal bihishu zoken melech. Melech David, a real ben toiro, although he was old, he still retained the status of a melech. So, first of all, we have to understand what is this about. Yeah, what does each stage really represent? It's quite easy to understand what each stage is that, but I think there's more depth to it. And also, what does it mean, a ben toiro and an amoretz? It sounds a little bit scary, this medrash. Does medrash want to tell us that any person who's not a ben toiro, whatever that means, a ben toiro seems to be quite a level. Whoever is not a mentor will end up his life like a monkey. What does that mean? And thirdly, when we say that the person starts off his life like a king, and then he goes through all the other stages, and then he ends up like a king, potentially, is there a connection between the first part of royalty and the last stage as well, or not? So before we talk about the comparison between humans and animals, we have to see what the differences are between humans and animals. We all know about the prohibition of eating blood. And what does it say about that? Ki adam hu ha-nefesh. It says that the dam is the nefesh. What does that mean? What does it mean that the blood is the nefesh, and therefore we should not consume the blood of animals? So, different Meforshim, I will base what I'm saying now on Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, the Talmud of the Gro. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, in his monumental work, Or Torah, he explains that when he talks about the difference between Yidden and others, when it says Atem Krim Odom, Behem Inam Krim Odom, also something that needs understanding, he says there's a difference between Odom, Aleph Dalet Mem, and Odom without an Aleph, which is simply Dam. Animals have desires. I'm talking about the intelligent animals, the big mammals, yeah? Let's take the bull. You don't have to be very well versed in Bavakama to know that bulls have retzoinus. They have desires, they have wills, they even have gaiva. Even chicken, the Gemara says, has his pride. The rooster, yeah? We go through Bavakama, we see that, many examples. We know that the shor muad for Shabbos is not a shor muad for a weekday, because on Shabbos he behaves differently because it doesn't work. So Rashi and Tosfos argue whether that's because he doesn't work and therefore he feels good about himself, so he wants to gore and, you know, he feels too good about himself. He has lachus das. Or is it because he sees people around wearing different clothes, fancy clothes, and that changes his mood. So animals have moods and have retzoinus, and sometimes they even take revenge. That's scientifically proven. There are animals that take revenge. They remember different animals. They have their retzoinus there. They know what they want. Yeah, the Chazon Ish says something very interesting. There's a whole sugi in Bava Kama about Rishus Meshana, not Chinu Rishus in Merubah, Rishus Meshana. If an animal gored and misbehaved under one owner, it does not mean they will behave the same under a different owner, says the Chazon Ish, because he feels different under different owners. Yeah, he gets the feel of what's going on. All the more so monkeys, which we'll discuss later. So the animals have a lot of dam. Dam hu ha-nefesh. Nefesh, yeah, nefesh, the lowest part of the five levels of neshama, the different parts of neshama, nefesh is the source of desires. Both regular desire for physical things, like lust, and desire to have, for gaiva, for pride. Those two things are things that are shared, common between human beings and animals. The difference is the Aleph. A person who doesn't have the Aleph representing Alufo Shel Oilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aleph is, you know, consists of Vav, Yud, and Yud, the letter Aleph, which is 26, Shem Havaya. Aleph, Bereshis, is base. That's after HaKadosh Baruch Hu started creating the world. He wasn't, so to speak, the only thing. Aleph is before the base, before the Bereshis, Alufa Shel Olam. Once your desires are controlled by Aleph, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're an Odom. A person who behaves like a goy, a person who behaves with no Torah, no direction, and no connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, remains a Eved, basically controlled by his own desires, by the Dam. This is why we should not eat the Dam, because the Dam, the blood, represents the spiritual part of the animal. For the animal, the dam is sort of the go-between the flesh, which is completely physical, and the spiritual spark, so to speak, that the animals do have, the nefesh, although it's not everlasting, it's not in the shoma, no way. But that spiritual force is the nefesh, and the dam is the nefesh. We should not eat that, because this is not for our consumption. This is a spiritual part, so to speak, of the animal, which is not for us to consume. Having said that, let's go through the stages of the person's life. Stage number one, the person is a melech. What does it mean? The person is born, everybody kisses and hugs him, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created babies usually very cute, usually vulnerable, usually helpless. They need the parents. The parents, if things are normal, bond to them. That baby just finished chas, you know, in his mother's womb. You know, that's a real melech. And in in such a state, the person is about to embark on his spiritual journey. He has the potential to be a melech, to be the best he can. This is the first stage, the potential. Comes the second stage, and that's a big fall. Yeah? When he's 2 or 3 years old, he's like a chazir. Chazir, one of the lowest animals. The lowest animals are nachosh, chazir, kelev. These animals are the lowest, and the person becomes like a chazir. What does it mean? Once he's out of the melech stage, he basically goes into everyday life. And everyday life, unfortunately, is full of dirt, for lack of a better word. Yeah? Everyday life makes us meet a lot of challenges that are unpleasant. And already at the tender age of 2 or 3, that person, the little person, is already facing those challenges, and he's like a chazir. He touches the dirt, he's into the dirt, and he's dealing with those everyday issues that he has. 2 or 3, the issues are, whatever, dirt, living. From stage 3 onwards, the person is in a constant conflict between melech and a chazir. And this is what we're going to explain now. When a person is 10 years old, he plays football. Yeah? Soccer, football, whatever you call it. So I remember as a child in Israel, I used to watch kids play kaduregel, as we call it. And you'd see different kids playing differently. Some kids would play the kaduregel, the football, they'd be so immersed in it, you'd see them red-faced and sweaty and just looking in the ground the whole time. And then eventually sometimes pushing and doing the illegal things, etc. And then you have another child who plays very well, and plays with fun and dedication, but he plays a fair game. What's the difference between the two children? Why is it the one child plays the game not in a fair way, and he's too immersed, and he looks like an animal, looks like a wilde chaya, while the other child retains his dignity? The first child plays, may sound funny to say it about 10 years old, but I think the difference is that the first child who plays like a wilde chaya is playing like an Am Haaretz. What does Am Haaretz mean? Am Haaretz doesn't mean a person who's not well-versed in Torah, not necessarily. The Maharsha on Shabbos says that a person that respects Talmid HaChachamim, a person who likes Talmid HaChachamim, it's actually mashmah from the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Bamei Madlikin. The one who likes Talmid HaChachamim, the one who respects Talmid HaChachamim, will have children and the sons-in-law of Talmid HaChachamim. The person who may not be well-versed in Torah can be still called Ben Torah, while the other one can still be called Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz is a person that only looks at the Haaretz. Am Haaretz means the one who just lives the here and now. He's completely focused on what he has to do now, in his gashmias task that he has to do now, and that's it. That's all he has. Am Haaretz is looking at the ground, like that kid playing football, and that's all he has. That's all he knows about. He only knows about the ball, and himself, and the trophy that awaits him, possibly, and that's all. He doesn't see far and beyond. He just sees what he has right now. That is an Am Haaretz. A person that doesn't have the ability, the capacity, or doesn't choose to have the capacity to look far, to look beyond, to see the whole picture. Just sees the here and now, and that's it. Well, the Ben Torah is a person who lives by the Torah. Torah is the Torah, and he sees the whole thing. He knows that there is a game to play, but that's not the only thing. There's a game to play, but there's also behaving like a mensch. He knows that later on he'll need to advance in life. He knows that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's rules, there's menschlichkeit. There are other things beyond the here and now. And that is the behavior of a real Ben Torah. And that's why, when a person is not behaving like a Ben Torah, when he's 10 years old, he looks like a complete goat. Of course, it can change. But if he doesn't change, what happens next? Ben Esrim, he's like a sus, he's like a horse. What do horses represent? So for the Medrash, it sounds like, he wants to make himself pretty. Which is true till today. Horses are very well-groomed animals. Yeah, horses always look very nice. They have a nice mane and, all these competitions, etc. More than donkeys, let's say. The horse also, I'm sure you know what the pasuk, Vizir Masusim Zir Mosom, right? Vizir Masusim Zir Mosom, basically the horse represents in Nach and also in Halacha regarding the Yichus of Goyim, Zir Masusim Zir Mosom is when there is uncontrolled or unhealthy relationship between the genders, when it's not controlled, that's a sus, a horse kind of behavior. It's not an English expression. It actually has its source by us, by the Torah. So when a person is looking for the shidduch, he has to look pretty, he has to look nice. The bacher goes out to shidduch, he has to, put on his tie, etc. Everything, he has to look good. Absolutely. He wants to marry a pretty girl, absolutely fine. That is That is it. I don't remember which one. One of the Mefarshim the Chumash says it's important to marry a woman that's good looking, will be good looking for the pleasing for the person, for the husband. However, once again, this is a choice. Will it be the only thing? Be all and end all. Yeah? And then he's like a sus, like a zirma susim zirmosum. Or will he look far and beyond, like a ben Torah? And then you come to the next stages. I don't know if you're counting, but we're already holding in stage. Which one? Four. No, wait, it was Melech. Chazir, Sus, fourth. And now we're going to the fifth and sixth stages. Right, the horse we did. The fifth and sixth stages are the Chamor. What a fall, right? From a Sus to a Chamor. And then to a Kelev. If you noticed, there's no time limit for those. All the stages till now, there was a stage. It was 1, then 2, 3, 10, then 20. But when it comes to Parnoso, we adult men know that it's an ongoing battle. It's a lifetime mission to suffer because of that miserable act of Etz Hadas. We all have to suffer through life with Parnoso. And what happens now? Chamor, as you very well said, Chamor is about burden, about carrying the burden, of course. And the kelev is when a person has children, then it becomes a kikelev, which again is a very low animal, generally speaking. Except for this with Parsha, actually, in Parsha's boy, the dogs are looked at more favorably. But generally speaking, the kelev is the one that, in Hebrew, how do the dogs bark? In Hebrew, they bark hav-hav. You know, that each nation, I once read an article, that almost in every language, the dogs produce a different sound. Like in English it's woof woof, and in other languages it's how how, and in Japanese it's something very different. I don't know, sushi sushi, I don't know which one. I don't know. But in Hebrew, in real Hebrew, original Hebrew, hav hav. What does hav mean? The kelev has chutzpah. The kelev demands what he deserves. He says, hav, give me what I deserve. The kelev has midas adin. He demands what he thinks he deserves. I once spoke to a person who's a declared atheist in an attempt to do some kiruv, and he told me that, he proudly told me that if one day he was newly married, and he actually married Lefi Alocha, Baruch Hashem, and he told me very proudly that if he would ever have to, he would steal first children. If he would have any money, let's say, he was studying for a good profession, but theoretically speaking, if he wouldn't have money, then for the sake of my children, for the parnasa, I would steal. Yeah, if you have to feed your children, you do anything, even theft, it's good, that's the right thing to do. So again, this is an atheist outlook on life. Why? Because again, those values of parnasa, the value of parnasa is important. Parnasa is, well, not just a klala, especially in Chassidus, I think. It's not just a klala, it's a chiyuv. Chiyuv suba, yesh, er ksus, chulei. These are chiyuvim for a man, towards his wife. However, as opposed to that atheist person, we see that chiyuv as part of the big picture. When one is immersed in parnaso, in seeking parnaso, and bringing food to the table, we should always remember that if you're an ama oretz, if you do it like an ama oretz, then what comes out? Then there's absolute lack of bitochoin. And if you think bitochen is just a nice word, and bitochen is something nice to tell a person who's down and out, bitochen, according to the Ritzva in Brochos, bitochen is the yesoid and kol haTorah kula. That's what the Ritzva in Brochos says. He talks about Alocha of Samech Geula Letfila, the whole thing over there. He says that bitochen is the basis for everything. The more you learn this subject, the more you know it's true. A person who is mefarnes his family like an amal oretz, he only sees the oretz that's right here. What's going to happen to such a person? No bitochon, then yeah, he may not mamash steal from the supermarket, but that person may come to do very unethical things. He may lie to his colleagues, he may lie to his boss, lie to the law and avoid taxes, etc., etc. And a person like that would definitely not have time for shiurei Torah. I know these are dvarim pshutim, but it's still kedai to remember. And that is the person who is mefarnes his family like an amah oretz, and he ends up like a chamor and like a kelev. Well, the ben Torah, the one who sees the big picture, is mefarnes his family not less, but knowing that this is just one small piece of a big picture. And then comes the last stage. Monkey or a melech? So a monkey has 97% of the monkey's DNA, whatever of his physical qualities, are like a human being, which created many mistakes by certain scientists, as we all know who Darwin's Zeta was. But the Maharal also says, the Maharal says, we know that there is different stages of creation. We spoke about Tzomeach, there's Doimim, right? There's still objects, and then there is Tzomeach, things that grow. Next stage is things that grow, and then there's animals, etc., from animals as human beings. The stage between, there's always certain creatures that are links between the two stages. So the Maharal says that the link between the human being and the animals is the monkey. Monkey is extremely similar to human beings, that's for sure. However, the fact that monkey is physically very similar to human beings, and we're going now to the beginning of the story with Adam and Adam, doesn't really make a difference. Because the monkey is basically, even if you see the monkey is like a person, he's very smart, they're chimpanzees that manage to do a very complicated task to carry. However, the monkey has no neshama. The monkey doesn't have the aleph, doesn't have the connection to Hashem, he has no neshama. So basically, it's like a person with no neshama. It's like ikar chosam and a sefer. It's there, but once there's no neshama, then the difference between the monkey and human being is immense, and scientists usually don't understand it, because many of them don't relate to neshama. It's not a scientific thing. So when a person ends up his life, and his entire life is completely immersed in the physical activities, without seeing anything far, without anything, seeing anything beyond, no journey in his life, there's just the here and now, he ends up his life like a monkey. He may be funny, you know, some like some old people that may look and sound and be sort of cute, but there's nothing beyond that. He basically lost his neshama. He lost his soul. Because in his journey, he lost his crown. He lost his potential to be a king because he didn't take care of that. He never saw the final end of the journey. While the person who is a betayra, needless to say, is like a melech. Yes, there is connection. He basically retained his throne. Yeah, his throne, his place on the throne has been retained through the journey of life. Not only he retained it, he even gained it. Yeah, through the nisyanis of life, not only was born like a king, he's now, he really deserves to be a king. He became a king because he withstood all those nisyanis. And the example is David HaMelech. Speaking of Ibn Torah, David HaMelech was all shakua in Torah, in spite of the fact that he had many, many, many errands to run. Yeah, so he says that, the Gemara in Brachos, very famous Gemara, says that David HaMelech said that he has many places to go to. Raglai Moliches Oisi Lebes HaMedrash. I have many places to go to. He had to fight against Syria and against the Philistines, etc., etc. But David HaMelech Sama always found himself in the Bes Medrash. What does that mean? That's exactly what we're talking about. He had many, many things to do, but the goal was always Torah. So this is the Medrash. I've said this drosha many times before in many different places in the world. Now, London special edition in the 8 minutes that we have left, oh, seven actually. I'd like to talk about something called family values. I'll say something that may sound a bit funny or maybe even provocative. There's something similar between religious people, religious in general, and religion. Something similar, something in common that religious people have with animals. And that is family values. You ask people down the street, if you ask a regular, secular, whatever, or non-Jewish Joe Smith, Joe Blow, whatever, and you ask him about religious values, he will tell you that family values and religious values are usually go hand in hand. In the eyes of the secular academic people, many times family values, Christian people are known, usually, as far as I know, I spoke to many, they're known for they have strong family ties, they get married, they have children. Well, in the secular world today, marriage is not exactly number one. Divorce is almost more common than marriage, if that is possible. People look more for individualism. Atheism believes in individualism, in the I, not in God, or society is, you know, less, not so much in place. And if you look at the animal kingdom, then you know, everybody knows that the most dangerous animal to provoke, to start with, so to speak, is a mother that tends to her children. Animals are very, very protective, especially the female after birth. They're very protective of the children, and some families also have strong family ties. Lions, for example, in their pride. The difference again is as follows. When we talk about family values, it's not really true in Yiddishkeit, if we look into it, it's not really true that Yiddishkeit believes in family values. What does that mean? Of course, we're mechabed our parents, and many going don't. We're mechanech the children, we put so much into chinuch, while others don't. Of course we have family values, but what kind of nonsense am I talking between brother and sister? Of course there has to be achdus and ava, and mishpacha is a very important thing. Once a week we meet with the family, at least once a week, of a Shabbos table, and the going don't. Of course we have family values. The answer is yes and no. If you look at each and every, each and every set of relationship in a family, we'll always see that although family values are important, they are not the supreme value. They are never the value that stands above all values. Shall I give you examples? Okay. Let's start with family life. Husband and wife, shalom bayis, extremely important value. Shalom bayis is very, very important. Yeah, we all know that. Imach hashmi elamayim, by soito. Yeah, the fiyoyim finished the soito some time ago, right? However, let's say a woman, lo aleinu chalila, is unfaithful to her husband, and the husband would say, okay, moichel, shalom bayis, you know, gendik, whatever, let, you know, that's what many, maybe stam, I don't know, in other religions, I don't know, maybe they would say it, it's a nice thing to do, you know, she slipped, she did the wrong thing, let's go back to her and go to a counselor and I'll buy her a nice gift and she'll promise to be a good girl. No, we've seen a lot of that, that's not true, because it's true that family values, but the shalom bayis, just the love between the couple, the spouses, is not the only thing. Yeah, there is the kedusha of the family that's above that. Same thing with kabbalah sabichah simecha. It's an extremely important value. We know which style of luchos abris it is. However, ishim evolviv tirov is shabtai setishmayru. We know that if your father tells you to be mechalel Shabbos, you refuse. Because there are other values, the value of connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because atavucha yovim michvoid is above, that is a value that surpasses the value of the family. Just like with a couple. What do we say by a brother and sister? Again, you have to be in good relationship with your siblings. However, Bnei Levi were praised by Moshe Rabbeinu for killing their own brothers. Yeah, achiv mi'ein, if they serve the ego. Specifically, the fact that they killed the brothers is what Moshe praised them for. Right? Why? Again, to show that your love to your brother is a very important thing, but if your brother served with the Zara, and same thing with Mesa Sumediach, yeah? The way the Torah describes Mesa Sumediach is Dafka Benimcho, somebody who's close to you, etc. So those values are important, but not above everything. But the animals, it's an instinct. The animal would protect its child as an instinct because it doesn't know anything, it doesn't know anything better. But us, it's a choice. When you have family values, but even those values, we mentioned values of parnasa, values of shidduch, values of everything, they are not something automatic to be taken for granted. We always have to see the big picture to see which value stands in front of the other. If you have 2 minutes, there's a very, very nice vote on the same idea, and the very same idea, Bisachar Frad explains the difference between Shimon and Levi. It's not the parasha now, but it's really worthwhile just saying that. Shimon and Levi, both of them protected Dina, their sister, right? And that's family values. You know, they killed an entire shtot, entire city, to protect the sister's honor. They took her out of Shechem and Hamor's place. However, years later, we see that Levi and Shimon are standing on the two sides of the coin. Very two different sides. Right? Zimri ben Salu from Shimon is the one who was Mezane with the Kozbi Bas Tzur. Well, somebody from Levi, which is Pinchas, actually stood up and killed him bravely. Why is that? Because Shimon is Medaikit in the Posuk. Shimon did what he did because he wanted to protect the family's honor. It's a good thing. He wanted to protect the family's honor. The Posuk talks about Bas Yisrael and Bas Yaakov. He wanted to protect Bas Yaakov, our family, our sister should be Chalila Lakezorevich, he wanted to protect her as a family member. That's why the people of Shimon, years later, protected and covered up for Zimri ben Salu, even though he did the wrong thing. He did a very wrong thing. Unzer Mishpacha is an Unzerer. Meshenken Levi originally protected Dina because he cared about the covenant of Klal Yisrael, the covenant of Yisrael as part of the Jewish nation. And that's why Pinchas, years later, also protected the covenant of Klal Yisrael by killing Zimri, who actually violated that honor. May we be zoiche to live like real melachim. In England it's easier, yeah. And may we be zoiche to the coming of Mashiach, Melech Mashiach. Thank you very much.